Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Are you interested in Medicare? Well, too bad, because here comes the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A podcast that wishes it had a twin podcast to play with. As a child, he tried to build a snowman out of rain. Medicare expert, Doug Jones.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. You probably know who I am because you must have heard my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, announce that I am your Medicare expert. Well, he's awfully complimentary, but I'm going to suggest that he refer to me as a Medicare specialist in the future, because when an expert makes a mistake, it's horrifying. When a specialist makes a mistake, it's just par for the course, I think. Anyway, welcome to our little Medicare soiree. We are here to help you feel more confident about the transition that you may have coming up with actual Medicare. And a lot of people are concerned and confused and trepidatious about what's likely to happen or what they have to do in order to stay legal and to stay on the right side of the regulations and everything. So I offer my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023, as the solution for some of that trepidation and concern. If you go to BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com, you're going to find that if you put Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023 into the search window, you will be offered up a copy of my book for 2023. Don't forget those numbers now. And in Amazon, in the Amazon sales space, you'll have all kinds of choices. You'll be able to have a Kindle ebook at a very reasonable price. You'll be able to get the very popular paperback edition. You'll be able to purchase the Audible edition if you like these dulcet tones and if you want to hear the whole book read to you, including turning the pages and basically learning the material for you, or the magnificently crafted hardcover book. It's a little on the pricey side, but it is certainly worthwhile if you have space for on your shelf, or space for a keepsake of very high quality, then that would be the episode or the edition I would suggest, is the hardcover Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. So you goes to Amazon and you takes your pick, and you wind up with the knowledge that most people are going to need to cross over into Medicare. And you also wind up with my contact information if you would like me to help you purchase the ancillary coverages that make Medicare an excellent protection against high medical bills. Well, I have big news for my compadre sitting across the screen from me. Today, I believe, is going to be Randy Carson Day. He doesn't know that yet. Well, now he does. He's very surprised about that. But Randy, congratulations on having your own day on the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast.
Well, that's great. I didn't realize it, but that's really cool.
Well, I just curated. Actually, I had curated for me a few of the things that you and I have been talking about. And I found them all in one stack. And I thought, well, why not celebrate the existence of Randy Carson?
Cool.
So,
I noticed on the show notes a topic that I'm interested in. I don't know why, other than the fact that, as you know, I was sitting in a pub having a beer, and this particular topic kept getting dropped into my ears over the TV, and for some reason, as you know, it perked up my attention.
Well, it did. We had a lengthy conversation about it because you wanted me to do your research, and I did do your research, and then I discovered a connection that people might be interested in as it relates to Medicare. And so you actually brought up a subject, and it turned out to be, I think, worthy of sharing with the audience.
And this was the other one, other than how to paint your own car.
Yes, it's not that, you know, step one, get a broom. Step two, get a bucket of paint. Nope, that's not related to that at all. I don't think the Medicare audience is interested in how to paint your own car, but they might be interested in this about whether ambulance travel is covered. So that's just a little hint as to what it's going to be about. And then we're going to have another Randy Carson-related subject about AI.
Yes. Cool. So I love it.
And then, of course, okay, now let me ask you a question. Can you hear that? You can't hear that. All right. That is my telephone telling me that I had a text from a neighbor. It didn't really matter who the text was from. It is the most obnoxious. Have you ever been on a submarine when the enemy is within sight and they have the alarm, dive, dive, dive?
Dive, yes.
Well, that's what my phone does. Thanks to my podcast content curator, she picked out a sound because she thought I was going deaf and unable to hear, you know, dainty little tones when I get a phone call or something like that. And so now this thing is the scariest, most obnoxious thing. Every time we're sitting around with friends playing cards or having a few cocktails, if the phone starts making that noise, it's completely frightening to the other people. But you couldn't hear a thing.
It's the background noise filter.
That's incredible how well that works. All this time, 508 episodes, and I never had any idea that we had a filter like that or that it was so effective.
Well, I did. I mean, I knew it existed, but I clearly didn't know it was that effective. I mean, literally, I know we've talked about it on air. You've got these funky little timer cubes.
Yeah.
And these are going to be great. Okay. And I'm going, I don't hear anything, Doug. What's our problem? No, are you sure you got it turned on, Doug? Yeah. I can't hear anything, Doug.
Well, if you didn't hear this thing, which is the loudest, most obnoxious noise that an iPhone is able to make, then there is no reason to expect us to ever get our goofing around time under control on future podcast episodes. I mean, We start yakking and jaw-jacking, and I'm telling okie-arkie stories, and you're telling me historical facts. Then you're asking me a Medicare question, which, by the way, let's not forget to do that this episode.
Well, yeah, I've got one off of the curated list, and then obviously you've got the one that I picked up in a bar.
Yes.
Never know where you're going to hear about Medicare, but I never thought I was going to be in a bar.
Well, my advice is keep hanging around in bars because only good things happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I am going to go ahead and mute myself out because I think you've got some important stuff to do, don't you, sir?
I do. So let me come back in time to ask that question, the question of the day, towards the end of the podcast episode. Okay, what we have here is the result of some innocent advertising that Randy overheard, and it kept mentioning Medicare, or medical, or something. He had probably had a couple of stouts by then, a couple of pints of Guinness, and he may or may not have heard what he thought he heard, but he asked me to, he said, I think this might be related to Medicare, and I said, I'll take it from here. And so I did some research, and what I discovered was something that I should have already known existed, and frankly, if I hadn't been such a lazy bum, I might have already done this research on behalf of Randy and on behalf of Mary Jones's goddaughter. Mary Jones has a goddaughter who was a girl who one of Mary's friends gave birth to back in the late 60s, and this girl now lives in Arizona. She lives down in not far from Casa Grande, where Interstate 8 meets Interstate 10. And Interstate 8 starts there and heads west to San Diego from that point, a very scenic drive. But anyway, she is one of these people that works really hard at not having a real job. And she has had an interesting series of careers. She used to be a school marm at a junior college in Illinois. And because I owned a ski hill with a bunch of other partners, once a year, she would ask me to come in and do a little presentation and answer questions for her class. It was a business class. And so the kids in this class were always interested. And so once a semester, I would be the resident expert and I would answer questions. And it was always kind of fun to do that. Well, I had heard recently that she was selling a service that would medevac you if you needed emergency travel from wherever you were stuck or hurt to a place that could help you out, mostly by helicopter. I don't know what it costs, but it's like a subscription service or an insurance policy. You would buy this service and theoretically pay, a monthly or an annual premium for it. And you may never need it, but you might need it. And their sales pitch is that, boy, if you do need it and you don't have their insurance to purchase that that air transport service, that you're going to be up the creek without a paddle. And so I thought, well, that's kind of like, that's a very long shot, shall we say. I don't see the value of that service for most people, but she's out flogging that service to her friends and neighbors. And so I then heard from Randy that he was sitting at the at Brissom's, as I recall, and he heard an advertisement or repeated maybe a story that was... purports to represent an outfit called MESA, MTS. And the MTS stands for Medical Transport Solutions. And it took me a while to figure out what the MESA was. We were laughing about this the other day because the U.S. government almost called the Medicare Oversight Department MAMA. And so MAMA and MESA, two words that would have entered our vocabulary, Medical Air Service Association. So Medical Air Service Association, Medical Transport Solutions.com. It's MESAMTS.com. And if you want to purchase an insurance policy against the cost of being medevaced from wherever you are to the closest hospital, then that's where you go. MESAMTS.com. Anyway, so that led me to wondering about how Medicare treats ambulance services and more broadly the need for transport. If you get hurt or if you have a grabber and you're out in the Kalahari Desert or someplace, it's not going to pay there because you are outside the United States. But let's say you're in the Sonoran Desert wandering around and you have a stroke or something, then what happens with the charges that are incurred to save you, to get you to a hospital? So I went to medicare.gov and I put in ambulance, and I found that there is a whole little section about how ambulance services are treated. And it says on medicare.gov, Medicare Part B, which is for outpatient expenses, that covers ground ambulance transportation when traveling in any other vehicle could endanger your health and you need medically necessary services from either a hospital or a critical access hospital or a rural emergency hospital or a skilled nursing facility. So they're going to pay for the ambulance service to get you to one of these places if you need to be in an ambulance to save your health rather than traveling, say, in an airport limousine or something like that. Medicare may pay for emergency ambulance transportation in an airplane or a helicopter if you need immediate and rapid transport that ground transportation can't provide. And now when they say Medicare may pay for that, it sounds like you might have to talk them into it. or demonstrate that it was absolutely essential that you be medevaced in a helicopter or an airplane from where you were to where you get the treatment. But it says that it's not closing the door on payment for that service. In some cases, Medicare may pay for limited, medically necessary, non-emergency ambulance transportation if you have a written order from your doctor stating that the transportation is medically necessary. For example, someone with end-stage renal disease may need medically necessary ambulance transport to a kidney dialysis facility. So, now it says, how would you pay for it? What are your costs under original Medicare? Well, after you meet the Part B deductible, which is $226 per year in this year of 2023, then you would be responsible for 20% of the Medicare-approved amount. And then there's a little informational box here. Your doctor or other healthcare provider may recommend you get services more often than Medicare covers, or they may recommend services that Medicare doesn't cover. If this happens, you may have to pay some or all of the costs. Ask questions so that you understand why your doctor is recommending certain services and if or how much Medicare will pay for them. Generally speaking, the doctors or their staffs know whether Medicare is going to cover their services and how much Medicare will allow for their services. To find out how much your test, item, or service will cost, talk to your doctor or your healthcare provider. The specific amount you owe may depend on several things, like other insurance you may have, how much your doctor charges, and whether your doctor accepts assignment, the type of facility, and where you will get your test item. I think, you know, they screwed up here. It should be the type of facility where you get your test item or service. Should have been one item, not two things. Things to know. Medicare will only cover ambulance services to the nearest appropriate medical facility that's able to give you the care you need. The ambulance company must give you an advance beneficiary notice of non-coverage, ABN, when both of these following things apply. Number one, you got the ambulance services in a non-emergency situation. And number two, the ambulance company believes that Medicare may not pay for your specific ambulance service. If those two things apply, the ambulance company has to give you an ABN, an advanced beneficiary notice of non-coverage. You may now be affected by the Medicare demonstration program if you get scheduled non-emergency ambulance transportation for three or more round trips in a 10-day period, or at least once a week for 3 weeks or more, and you get this transportation from any ambulance company nationwide. So the statement there was you may now be affected by a Medicare demonstration program. So I didn't know what that meant. So under this demonstration, your ambulance company may send a request for prior authorization to Medicare before your fourth round trip in a 30-day period. They'll do this so that you and the company will know earlier in the process if Medicare is likely to cover your services. If your prior authorization isn't approved and you continue getting these services, Medicare will deny the claim and the ambulance company may bill you for all the charges. Either you or the ambulance company may request prior authorization for these scheduled non-emergency ambulance services. For more information, you can call 1-800-MEDICARE, which is 800-633-4227. So anyway, that's the whole thing about ambulances. That's more than you ever wanted to know. I'm sure that nobody is planning to have an emergency ambulance transport or even a helicopter medevac. But it's nice to know that Medicare will consider these things, even if they're not an emergency situation under certain conditions. So that's one of the two amazing items that were curated to make this Randy Carson Day at the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. And the other item I wanted to share has to do with artificial intelligence. And Randy and I have spent a lot of time talking about artificial intelligence, almost as though artificial intelligence were created just for Randy's amusement. And so I ran across a little blurb here that very short and sweet and to the point. But basically what we're saying is that there are some lawyers that are in trouble in New York because they filed a motion. And in order for a lawyer's motion to have validity, it has, and I'm not a lawyer, I don't even play one on television, but a lawyer's motion has to have citations to prior cases that set precedent, is my understanding. And I'm sure that Dominic Regina's brother could correct me on this if I'm wrong, but I believe there has to be more substance than just grasping at thin air if a lawyer makes a motion to ask for a certain decision by the court. But these two lawyers apparently had citations that were created out of thin air by some artificial intelligence bot. And so the cited cases were completely made up. And this article says a pair of New York attorneys reportedly used ChatGPT to generate a legal motion that they filed in New York federal court, which has now put them at risk of sanctions. A judge demanded that they provide the full text for the decisions ChatGPT cited when neither the judge nor the opposing counsel could find the cases in their reference works, I guess. The reason the cases were missing was straightforward, the judge argued. ChatGPT simply made them up. And apparently the guys who caused ChatGPT to do that were okay with that. Roberto Mehta filed a lawsuit against Avianca Airlines. And of course, his suit, like many other stupid lawsuits, is based on the fact that he blames the airline because he was struck by a metal serving cart, the drink carts they have on airplanes. I don't know what he was doing in the way of the drink cart to cause it to hit him. But back in 2019, he was struck by a metal serving cart, and Avianca, the airline, moved to dismiss the case. And the plaintiff's lawyers predictably opposed that motion and cited a variety of legal decisions, as is typical in courtroom spats. Well, after that, everything fell apart. Avianca's attorneys told the court that it couldn't find the numerous legal cases that the two lawyers cited in their response. Federal Judge Castell demanded that one of the lawyers provide copies of the 9 judicial decisions. Geez, they kind of went overboard here. It seems like they could have used 1 or 2 decisions, but no, they had to create 9 fake cases in their artificial intelligence bot to support their motion that the case be dismissed. 9 cases. In response, the lawyer who was at fault filed the full text of 8 cases in federal court, but the problem only deepened, the judge said in a filing, because the texts were fictitious, citing what appeared to be bogus judicial decisions with bogus quotes and bogus internal citations. Now, I could go on and on about this. This is pretty funny that these lawyers decided to win a case based on made-up poop, and the tool they chose to make up the poop was ChatGPT. Randy and I have been talking about the various people's opinions and fears about artificial intelligence. He has friends who are scared to death that artificial intelligence is going to destroy the earth. And he poo-poos that. He says that it's got to have, if artificial intelligence is really going to be dangerous, there has to be some input by evildoers to allow it to be dangerous or to do dangerous things, if I'm interpreting Randy's opinion correctly. And it occurred to me that probably a parallel situation occurred about 23 years ago when everybody in the world was frightened to death that the world was going to come to an end at Y2K. And it was one of these things where I poo-pooed it as I poo-pooed the COVID virus panic and many other things that everybody else is all upset about. But nothing bad happened at Y2K. Randy says that there was some preparation that allowed disaster to be averted, but in most instances, there would have been no disasters anyway, and all the hysteria was based on nothing. So I just thought it was interesting that now we have a use of artificial intelligence by a couple of doofus douchebag lawyers that is kind of inventive, but certainly not on the up and up. So how did you like Randy Carson Day at the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast?
I liked
podcast?
It. Well, good. I've never had a Randy Carson Day anywhere to do anything.
Yeah, it's been 500 episodes, so I wouldn't hold your breath.
So I really enjoyed that reference to ChatGPT and AI helping these attorneys get themselves deeper in trouble than they were before.
Yeah.
Well, that's what
nice
they
that
told
they got
you.
Caught.
AI can do things a lot quicker than you can, and they dug their hole a lot deeper very quickly.
Yeah, that'll show them. But on the other hand, if AI improves to the extent that we think it may over the next few years, we could be, those guys could be ruling the earth unless they get locked up in jail for, contempt of court.
I used to have a professor back in college when when I was taking information technology. And his favorite expression was, computers are extremely fast, but they're dumber than a brick. It's just that they can be dumber than a brick very quickly.
Right. If they're properly instructed, meaning if they have code written accurately and properly, then they could be less dumb. Right?
Right.
Am I correct about that?
Right. Yeah. I read another article last night about how the world's going to end if, AI... I agree that it needs to be controlled and it needs to be monitored, but we're not looking for, there's not going to be an army full of AI driven robots, marching down the street. Hell, we've already got that. We've got the Medicare Advantage people. We've already got the zombies marching down the street.
I forgot all about them. You're absolutely correct. They're driven by forces that we don't understand that could take over the world. But it's nice to know these two lawyers are winding up in deep doo-doo, and I'd like to see them disbarred if not doing some serious jail time.
Yeah, hey, I agree.
You probably have a Medicare question for the expert, shall we try to stump?
I do. So this is a real question that was curated for us by your curator. And I don't think this is going to take you too long to answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Alrighty, fire away.
The question is, how much does Medicare cost?
Oh boy, there's an open-ended question for you. Medicare itself, the government-provided Medicare, consists of two parts. If you are a good American and you've been working for longer than 10 quarters or 40 years, no, 10 years, 40 quarters, you will have Part A paid for in full. If Part B, when you enroll in Part B, I'm watching a neighbor drive very slowly past my house. It's like they think I owe them money and they're hoping to collect. Anyway, so Part A is going to be cost-free for most people who have been working and paying taxes into the system. Part B has a monthly premium cost, and this year that monthly premium cost is $164.90 per month. Now, the cost can vary. If you're really, really poor, you might be able to go on Medicaid, and Medicaid will pay that cost or some portion of it. If you're very successful, then you will probably fall into the IRMA success penalty category, in which the feds will add a monthly penalty amount to your monthly premium of $164.90. And those amounts are codified based on your tax return from 2 years ago. So if you made, let's say you filed jointly and you made more than $194,000 2 years ago, as calculated on the line that calls for modified adjusted gross income on your return, then they're going to add some penalty amount to your monthly premium. If you made a bunch more than that, then you move into the next bracket. And I think there are like four brackets. There is a ceiling as to how much they can charge you, but What is the cost of Medicare? It depends to some extent on your income. But if your income is like most people's, then your monthly premium is going to be $164.90 for Part B for the year of 2023, and it'll be different next year. I don't know whether it's going to be less or more. Last year, it was more, and they actually lowered it. So they'll probably kick it up next year. Was that a sufficient answer? Was that a thorough enough answer?
Yes, it absolutely was. Okay, and I always enjoy hearing you answer those questions, because there's always some little nuance of every answer that I have forgotten along the way. And obviously, I'll never know all the nuances of the situation, but I do feel a little bit more able to have a conversation about this topic than I did when I started with you, three years ago?
Well, we first met in March of 2018, so probably 2 years after that, we were podcasting.
Used to be, Medigap, and my mind is going, Medigap, what is a Medigap?
Yeah. I don't like that term for some reason. I don't, there are many terms I don't like because I'm a traditionalist when it comes to the English language. And I was playing cards with some people on Memorial Day, and I said, I don't like to be called a senior. And they're all old, and they all looked at me like, what are you, crazy? We're all seniors. And I said, no, I'm not, because I was never a junior. So why would I want to be a senior? So stop calling me a senior.
I've got a similar feeling about some terms like that, Doug.
Sure.
One that just burns my tush like a fire, uh-huh, about 3 feet tall.
Yep.
Silver sneaker program.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I hate them.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of silver stuff out there, and it's all old people. Like, we have silver hair. What about baldies? What about the guys that are bald?
How about
Chrome Dome?
How about Chrome Dome programs? You know, they're bold on the top, and it looks like a road map to Southern Africa. Sure. You know, I mean, let's get something going for those guys.
Yeah, but I don't like Medigap, and I can't tell you why, except that the people that I hear using the term Medigap are not very serious about their Medicare calling. Whereas I feel as though I have a higher calling, and I'm responsible for an audience's welfare. And to use a term like Medigap that isn't really very serious, I think it's doing a disservice to the audience.
Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree with you. Well, you know, our 75-cent clock just expired, so we're going to have to close down shop for today, land the plane, bring the bus into the station. But before I do that, there's a couple things I always want to mention. Number one is, we don't make it painfully obvious, but it should be known to everybody on the podcast, that Doug is nationwide licensed to be your Medicare supplement helper. You can reach out to him at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. You can check us out on the website at MedicareForTheLazyMan.com. We talked about the books, we talked about the audios, we talked about all that good stuff, but we didn't talk about the fact that you can keep us in the hunt for the prize by finding a place to give us a rating on the podcast and the book. And also, I would also like to mention that in case you haven't been watching your clock, and most people don't because they're just up against the screen in rapt interest listening to the podcast, that you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma. No more. He moved west, and he's living in Cave Creek, Arizona now. He's up behind the city in the mountains in his purpose-built fortress of solitude that keeps all Medicare Advantage people at least 300 yards away.
Unless their faces are pressed against the screen.
Well, that too. Yes, that can happen.
Well, anyway, thank you, Randy. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. I'll look forward to intercoursing with you next time. Intercourse being communicating. Bye-bye.